seem like an endless weekend. But it will come to a close. Janmashtami, Vyasa Puja, initiations, Bhagavatam installations. Now we're going to light a fire in the living room.
We could just go smoke it out.
We did. Okay, that's good. Just before visiting Chicago, I was in Minneapolis and speaking on some verses from First Canto, Chapter 1, Srimad Bhagavatam. And one of those little iPods, yeah, just like your daughter's playing with, recorded the lecture. And then when the devotee went to save the lecture, he pressed the save button, except it was in the default delete mode, except the whole lecture got deleted. So I'm just going to, but it's a very, not exactly repeat, but speak on the verse again, and it's appropriate for what we're doing. Canto 1, Chapter 1, Text Number 21. The section of the Bhagavatam here is a setup for the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, and I'll expand on that a little bit. The questions asked by the sages of Naimisharanya, they're called the sages of Naimisharanya because they're not from Naimisharanya, they're like not from Chicago or Haridwar or Andhra or Tamil Nadu. They were assembled there. Sages of Naimisharanya. And they picked Naimisharanya for a very specific purpose. Besides its sacred place, the specifics of Naimisharanya is that at Naimisharanya, the hub of the universe passes through Naimisharanya. Just like our Earth planet has a North Pole and a South Pole. And it's decided North Pole, South Pole, even though it's at an axis, what is it, 23 and a half degrees, it's on, or something like that, it's on a tilt. But where the Earth spins is that axis. So as the Earth spins, according to the Vedic cosmology, the whole inside of the universe, this universe that we're in, spins. There's an axis that spins. And where that axis passes through the Earth, that's Naimisharanya. Very nice. And so the understanding is if there's some beneficial work, as they had planned, a sacrifice to last for 1,000 years. That seemed like a lot of time, but in the previous yuga, the duration of life was 1,000 years, maximum duration of life. By a multiple of 10, it diminishes. So in our present yuga, Kali Yuga, maximum duration, there's exceptions, but the maximum duration is 100 years. In the previous year, 1,000 years, then 10,000 years, and 100,000 years. The sages who lived for 100,000 years, the principal means of achieving perfection was meditation, for which they underwent for 40 or 60,000 years. Well, people can't do that in Kali Yuga, but they don't live that long. And besides, they don't live that long. They couldn't do that meditation, or unbroken meditation, for so many years. And some, we find sometimes that meditation was done underwater for thousands of years. How long can you hold your breath underwater?
30 seconds.
Yeah, 30 seconds. Maybe you could practice, maybe a minute. Maybe you really got good at it, you know, a couple minutes maybe. The sages knew how to, their life airs were sustaining their life. They knew how to keep their life airs circulating in such a way their life was sustained even underwater. They were very elevated, very advanced in the yoga system. So, as the ages progress, the capacity gets less. There's a verse in the, just prior to this, where the sages are saying to Shona, to Sutta, Prayina Payushakshavya, Kahavasmin Yugajana, Mandaksya Mandavatayo, Mandabhagya Vupadrutha. Essentially they're saying, Prayi now means almost complete. And what's almost complete in the age of Kali is good qualities are almost completely destroyed. Almost completely destroyed. There's some thread, some little resemblance of or reflection of good quality, but compared to previous ages, I mean, when we meet a mode of goodness person, it's impressive, their features, their quality. But even the best of the age of Kali is almost destroyed compared to previous ages, when qualities were very, very elevated. Rāyīna pāyuṣak śakya kalabhasmin yugējana. And then they list, people are, manda means bad, and then sumanda, very bad. Their qualities are degraded, and they're misguided, their duration of life is shortened, their spiritual inclination is diminished, their ability to concentrate is diminished, their ability to remember is diminished, their compassion is diminished, they're always quarreling with one another over trivials, and their minds are always disturbed. In such a condition, the sages are saying, how are people to make progress? They're not going to take the time to study the length and breadth of the Vedas and come up with the essence of the length and breadth of the Vedas and come to the right conclusion. Even if they have some interest, then there's someone to misguide them. That's another symptom of the age of Kali that they describe. That's very difficult. Therefore, they conclude the means for achieving spiritual perfection for the sage must be very accessible and very simple. Because otherwise people aren't going to even make an effort, nor will they accomplish that effort. Very accessible, very easily performed. So, one of the questions that they asked, can you describe the essence of all the Vedas in a very concise, simple manner? They've also asked, what's that principle, activity, that all beings should primarily be engaged in, especially somebody like me, someone that's about to die? What should their primary focus go to? That's a good question. Then they ask, just as we observe Krishna Janmashtami, we spoke about this on Janmashtami Day, what's the reason for the Supreme Lord entering into this world that he creates? why did Krishna appear? And then another question that they allude to, because they haven't yet asked the question, they say, we know that you know all of the wonderful activities that Supreme Personality of Godhead appears when he enters this world. So the indication is, please tell us, please describe those things. And it's not that the sages weren't sages. They knew. They had studied the range of all the Vedas. They were not victims of Kali Yuga. They were very, very elevated. So they weren't just looking for information. Oh, Mr. Encyclopedia, Sutta Goswami, can you turn to page 265 and describe what's on that page? They didn't just want information. They wanted his deep realization, because he had just heard from Shukadeva Goswami and had understood the message and assimilated the message and fully realized it. So they wanted to hear that. Then they describe when one does hear from such a person, what happens? And the anatomy of self-realization is spelled out. Very nice. Now this verse. Knowing well that the age of Kali has already begun, we are assembled here, in this holy place, to hear at great length the transcendental message of Godhead, and in this way, perform sacrifice. So they, being sages, they knew Kali Yuga has begun. Astronomically, they had made their calculation. Kali Yuga had begun. They also saw the symptoms of the ancient Kali. The deterioration that they had described. They saw it happening. So they couldn't just let people go down. Like Prabhupada's expression is, any gentleman that sees a blind man heading for the ditch, he has to do something. He can't just like keep walking and say nothing or do nothing. A gentleman has to do something. There's a blind man heading for a ditch. Like, excuse me, sir, but you're heading for the ditch. So they'll assist that person. So the sages wanted to do that. They wanted to make an assist to the souls victimized by the age of Kali. And so bring them back to the center of the path of life, the purpose of human life. What Prabhupada does in the purport is he describes the four yugas, Satya, Treta, Dwarapa Yuga, and Kali Yuga, because the topic is Kali Yuga has begun, and it gets really bad. And after bad, it gets worse. And after it gets worse, it gets really frighteningly terrible. The 12th canto of the Bhagavatam describes at the mature stage of Kali Yuga, what's it like? There's several chapters, and it's something you don't want to be around when it's the end of the age of Kali, or as it approaches. So, for the duration of 100 years lifespan, the primary means of self-realization or spiritual perfection is meditation. Same thing is discussed in the 12th canto of Bhagavatam. Krite yad dhyayate Vishnum. Dhyayate is like chapter 6 of Bhagavad Gita is dhyan yoga. Dhyan yoga. So dhyayate Vishnum. Meditation upon Vishnu is the principal means in Satya Yuga. These two terms are interchangeable. Prabhupada has primarily used Satya Yuga, but also in the Bhagavatam. Krita Yuga also applies to Satya Yuga. They're interchangeably used. And following Satya Yuga, during the time of Ramchandra, where duration of life was 10,000 years, and the process was Yajna. We read so much in Ramayana of the sages living in the Danda forest were engaged in Yajna, except the Rakshasas were disturbing their Yajna, or more than disturbing the Yajna, they were devouring the sages. That's pretty disturbing. So, Tretayam Yajato Makai, Yajato, sacrifice. Makai, this term Makai is a very specific, this is a arena or a fire sacrifice. Makai, so we use the term Agnihotra Yajna in Sanskrit. Makai is a very specific term. It means, it's what the Karmakanda Purohit, the performer of rituals, can do in order to bring benefit to an individual for wealth or health or longevity or something. But ultimately that makai is meant, as anything is meant, for the satisfaction of Vishnu. So like, for example, we find Prithu Maharaj in the Bhagavatam. He in order to provide for his praja, he was engaging in Ashwamedha yajnas. Ashwamedha yajnas. And that's not appropriate for this age. Horse sacrifice. And maybe those who were here long before, Ramchandra Premananda probably remember this, right? One of the first came to Chicago, there was a big push by one of the suburban mandirs to have an Ashwamedha yajna. Do you remember that, Ramchandra?
I think the north side.
Huh?
North side?
I didn't know Chicago long enough to know north side, west side, south side. Probably wasn't south side. That much I did. But somebody, it was in the advertisements, in the newspapers all over the place. Have an Ashwamedha yajna. And from what we know, from what the Bhagavatam says, poor horse. Not only poor horse, poor Brahmins. Not only poor Brahmins, poor persons who were sponsoring. And to have the Ashwamedha yajna, so much gold and wealth, poor people who were contributing their gold to kill a horse. Anyway, it's not appropriate for this age. It's for a previous age. Or to speak of the ultimate purpose. The ultimate purpose is not just that the immediate purpose of the Ashwamedha yajna is the old horse enters the fire and comes out a young horse. Can you do that? Underwater for 30 seconds and take a horse and put the horse in the fire, it comes out a young horse. No way. No way. If one can't do that, that was like the test, was one of the tests, to that the Brahmana is qualified. And then another test that the Brahmana is qualified to do yajnas is they would ignite fire by mantra. No matchbook, no Zippo lighter. No, just mantra. That's like magic. But they knew the science, because fire is within the wood, and they knew how to agitate the elements in such a way that the fire would become agitated and come out. They knew how to do that. in this age of Kali, he's not qualified to do that. Nor take that fire and have a horse go in the fire and comes out a young horse. But the ultimate purpose is to, the intermediate purpose is to propitiate the devas and ultimately to satisfy the personality Godhead. Otherwise, King Pitu, an incarnation of the Lord, has no interest. Well, we have an interest. But for the welfare of the citizens, he was engaged in that activity. Ambarish Maharaj also did like that. Great, great Vaishnava. Worshipper of, he had a Krishna deity in Krishna temple, in his palace. Dedicated to worship Krishna for hours. He didn't even go into the royal palace until late morning, can you imagine? Be a temple president, you just, you know, come to the temple at 11 o'clock in the morning, or go to your office at 11 o'clock in the morning and tell your boss, well, I was engaged in worshiping Krishna so that I would have the purity to do my service here in the office. We had the unemployment list. But that was Maharaj Ambarish, he set that standard. Although he had the whole world to rule. And he did. He ruled. He was very effective. But he engaged in deity worship along with having his brahmanas take care of performing yajna. In the ninth canto of Bhagavatam, it's described it was a, in his kingdom, part of his kingdom, there was a long drought. And so he engaged the brahmanas in performing a yajna so that there could be some rain. Maybe that's why it's raining now, because so much sankirtan. There's some history of this. In when Prabhupada was visiting in Hyderabad in the 70s, early 70s, there had been a, can you, those of you that are from Andhra, can you imagine this? The rainy season failed to produce rain for about three or four years. No rain. That was a big problem. Because the agriculture depends upon rain. And it's not like in Andhra, it rains all year round. It rains too much, but during the rainy season, it rains. And there was no rain. So, they were engaging mystics that said they could make it rain and so on and so on. I forget the details of how it happened. But one of them approached Prabhupada and said, you know, mystic said, Swamiji, I feel that you are a qualified person. Can you make it rain? And Prabhupada quoted Bhagavad Gita that when you perform sacrifice, then there's rain. But the sacrifice for the sages, the chanting of the holy name. So the devotees went all over Hyderabad, chanting Harinam, huge procession of devotees. That night it rained. It was in the newspaper, Swamiji makes the rain. From some Sankirtan, Naga Sankirtan, through the streets of Hyderabad. And then it continued for, like, you know, regular amount of rain. The rainy season. Dvapare paricharyanam. In Dwarka Yuga, the process of deity worship, or archa vigraha, worshipping the deity form. So during Dwarka Yuga, many temples appeared, and many forms of deity worship appeared, because that was the means of achieving spiritual perfection. And then Kali Yuga, this age that we described earlier, very bad conditions. Kalo tad hari kirtanat. That's what Prabhupada is describing here in the third book. But in Kali Yuga, the maximum duration of life being 100 years only, and that combined with various difficulties, the recommended process of self-realization is that of hearing and chanting the holy name, fame and pastimes of the Lord. So that's what the sages are saying in this verse. They gather together for a 1,000-year sacrifice to engage in hearing the name, fame, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord. Actually, in the 18th chapter, they describe a little differently. They say, we have just begun the performance of this fruitive activity. They had planned a makai, a yagya, because in, again, in Naimisharanya, the benefit would go out through the whole universe, because it's the hub of the universe. So they had planned an extended yagya, so that the influence of Kali would be diminished. It's moving forward or influencing negatively. Its negative influences would be diminished by their yagya. But they were planning this other kind of yagya, the makai. So what they say is, we have just begun the performance of this fruitive activity, a sacrificial fire, without certainty of its result, due to the many imperfections of our action. Many imperfections means, according to the rituals of yagya, everything has to be exactly right. And if it's not exactly right, you don't get the benefit. There's no fruit that comes from the yagya. Like, you know, which position the flags are in, which corner, which elevation, and all the vastu, and all the and the mantras with exact pronunciation and exact meter and so forth and so on. All the ingredients have to be specifically pure and everything perfect. And if there's one discrepancy, and that's what they're saying. Without certainty of its result, due to so many imperfections in our action. Our bodies have become black from the smoke. What was the benefit that they got from their yagya? Their faces got filled with smoke. But there was no other benefit coming from it because of the discrepancies, and it's not meant for this age. But we are factually pleased by the nectar of the lotus feet of the personality god at Govinda, which you are now distributing. This is in chapter 18, where the sages had come, had assembled, and Shukadeva Goswami is about to appear. This is at the departure of Maharaj Parikshit. So this assembly in Naimisharanya is after that. They're describing it in past tense, that what Shukadeva Goswami discussed with Maharaj Parikshit. But they're anticipating that Shukadeva Goswami is going to deliver this nectar of Krishna's pastimes. So Prabhupada writes, by the example of these sages, one should learn that regular hearing and recitation of the Bhagavatam is the only way for self-realization. Now he's shortening what he said previously, hearing the holy name, paying pastimes of the Lord. The kirtan is very simple. One doesn't need to be literate. You don't have to have read or even heard pastimes of Krishna. Just chant the names of Krishna, because within the names of Krishna, everything is there. But at the same time, that the chanting of Krishna's name is enhanced and the nectar is increased by hearing the pastimes of Krishna or worshipping the deity form of Krishna, etc. This Bhagavat Dharma is centered on Bhagavan, and it's the means, the only means of self-realization, meaning ruling out what was effective in the previous ages. So, having said all of that, why do we have a fire yoga here if it's not meant for this age? The answer is that combined with the chanting of the holy name, then its efficacy is made manifest, just like worshiping a deity. In Dwarpa Yuga, deity worship was the principal means. This is Kali Yuga, but we're still worshiping the deity, but the deity worship should be combined with the chanting of the holy name. The yajna should be combined with the chanting of the holy name. The meditation is meditation upon the holy name, or form, or qualities, or pastimes of the Lord. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught like that. And he engaged everyone in the public during the daytime was kirtan. And then in the evenings there would be discussion of Bhagavad Gita. The way the Prabhupada describes it, it's very nice. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached this system of Bhagavad Dharma, and he recommended that all those who were born in India, I guess that counts if you're also from Indian families born in America. You guys born in America?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're included in this. Should take the responsibility of broadcasting the message of Lord Sri Krishna, primarily the message of Bhagavad Gita. That's Krishna's message. Sri Bhagavanu Vacha. Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita. And when one is well established in the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, he can take up the study of Srimad Bhagavatam for further enlightenment and self-realization. So, on the occasion of having a yajna in your home for making your use of this home in service to Krishna, furthering the cause of progressive human life, we're come together to have kirtan, speak the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, and accompany those, the fire of sacrifices accompanied by those things. So the utility of this part of God's creation is dedicated in His service. And when one takes even worldly things, this is an important part of devotional teaching, even worldly things are connected to the service of Krishna. They're as liberating as the direct devotional practices. It's a common conception, and say a misconception, that advancing in spiritual life means getting rid of, or you know, denying things, becoming a renunciate of things of this world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching is quite different. It's recognizing that all things that exist have their connection with the Supreme Lord and utilizing those things in service to He who is the source of them. So this is a nice opportunity to come together and bring the auspicious chanting of the holy name into your home. How long have you been here in the house?
1 week.
1 week. Okay. It's a nice house. So may that blessing of Krishna come upon the house by your inviting the devotees.